Right, good morning. We have a couple of speakers. I got to check something before we introduce the first one. Okay. Because if you know Pastor Niyazi from Istanbul, he tries to give our flowers away to his wife. And unfortunately, these are movable. And Irad is so precious that she would bring them back anyway and appreciate it. But from Istanbul, will you welcome Pastor Niyazi?
Irad, where are you? She is there. Let me do something. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for my wife. Thank you, Lord. Great. I love you, Irada. Wow. I want to start a movement in this church that I love my wife movement. I love. We wish you. Yeah. Even though sometimes we say that, Father, forgive my wife. She doesn't know what she's doing, but it's okay. So there. Wow. Lord, thank you, Lord. Bless this fifth thought. Thank you, Jesus. Quiet our hearts and prepare our hearts to receive from you. In your name we pray. Amen. Yeah, you know that I'm from Turkey, Istanbul, and we have two precious people from visiting from Turkey. And one of them is İlhan, if he's here, if he would stand. Maybe he's not here. İlhan is right there. His house is next to Mount of Ararat. So from his porch, you can see big Mount of Ararat. And he is great friend. And I highly, highly recommend you go and meet with him and love him and know him. He's awesome man of God. He's actually originally Kurdish. And his native language is Kurdish, and he's great friend of mine. And another friend is Gülin from Izmir. If she is here, I want to introduce her to you. Maybe not she is here, but Gülin, her name is, she is here, our Turkish sister. Anyway, great. Yeah, great to be here, and thank you for everything. And thank you, Pastor, trusting this pulpit to me. And thank you. Yeah. And yeah, I want to talk about time and the time. It takes time. So we have time on the earth that God gave us this time to know him. So that's why we have time. And we have also, we need wisdom for our time. And so I want to talk about Abraham, and before that, like how sometimes the things becomes so fast. Like, have you ever heard this? Like, hi, how are you doing? Like, I heard this, like someone passing by say, hi, how are you doing? I want to say how I am doing. Like, so they. Hi, how are you doing? Gone. I'm like something like that, you know. Fellowship takes time, you know. So, like, I get used to it. I'm doing myself now. Like, you know, hi, how are you doing? Okay. Like, so, like, it's not like, you know, it is something, it's fellowship and love takes time, right? And definitely, love also takes time. Take time. It's like something we need time for it. To separate time for it. Time is so precious. And time, something like, you know, great things that God has given to us We are responsible about our time. And also, good stuff takes time. For example, to prepare good food, it takes time. Like you wait, like in a certain time, you mix with certain things, with certain food, like so it takes time. And also, raising child takes time, right? So it definitely, losing weight takes time. So many things takes time. So good stuff. And Abraham also, we know Abraham from Bible. So like you and I, so person. And he was waiting from God. He recognized. It was in Genesis chapter 18, starting from the first verse. He recognized that Lord is coming. I love that all the like, you know, it's explaining that how he is like, he is for it, waiting for it, and says that the Lord is coming. He's like preparing. He right away says his servant, bring the calf, the gentle one, the good one, and marinate it, prepare something. Like he's kind of like, you know, preparing his heart for Lord's coming. So as we do, we come together, right? We prepare our heart, not outwardly, not like outside, but like inside, the inner man. We prepare our heart that God would talk to us. And he would like, you know, the word will penetrate into our heart. The inner man will be built up and will take shape, right? So we come together as Abraham did. We say that, like, bring this, do this, like Lord is here. And Lord, we have great expectation that Lord will speak, right? We have, with this expectation, we come. And this is our life. And he did. And it says, like, he had a tent, and tent's door was open. He was open. He was nothing to lock in. Open everywhere. When you look at his tent, he could see everything. Like, he was open. And now, as you know that Lord gave his promise, right? He said that you will have a son. Lord spoke. So then what they did, Sarah reasoned in her heart and by sight, and she was laughing. How come I can have a son? All the logical, visible reasons are like it's impossible to have a son. And she was laughing. How to laugh like something like that? Like, who is this? Like three men got the Lord came, like, you know, saying that you will have a son. Like, it's impossible. Like, then what Lord said, like, why Sarah laughed? And I love this picture that, like, Abraham is there doing everything in his outwardly, like trying everything. But if we call Sarah Abraham's inner man, like, outwardly, everything is like, I'm ready, I'm doing like good, I'm here, I did everything, I proved everything. But how about the inner man? Inner man is laughing. And God deals with it. And that's why we are open, right? Our inner man is God. Talk to me. I want to have prepared life. I want to be prepared for your talking, not outwardly, but innerly. Talk to me. If I laugh, if I despise your promise, anything, say to me, talk to me. This is our life. So I like it that, like, you know, how it works with Abraham, the preparation and everything. There is another one, like, you know, next chapter, chapter 19, verse Genesis, chapter 19. And it is also, we see Lot. And seemingly Lot does same thing. What he does, He also waits from God. He also, like, Lord is coming. And he has, like, little bit different settlement. He had stone house. So he invited, and also, like, Lord says, let's go to the square. Have you ever heard, like, you know, this in your ear? Lord says, let's go to the street. Let's go to the square. Isn't it great to hear from God this? God, let's go to the street. Let's go to the, I'm after souls, God says. I came to this earth to seek and save the lost. This is God's heart. And I have time to know him. And God gave me this time, this preparation and everything. And like, you know, what Lot did? Lot locked God in. And in his stone house. And they are waiting there now. And also, he has precious guest. Lord in his house. Wisdom in his house. And God is saying a couple of times, saying that Lord is saying, let's go to the square. Let's go to the square. And what I say, Lord, you don't know how dangerous it is. They may hurt you. I am your guard, Lord. I will guard you. Nobody can hurt you, Lord. I am here, okay? Don't worry. And I will, and what he, Lord, what here chapter 2, I mean Genesis chapter 19, verse 2, it says, Lot went out and shut the door. And he is out now. And he is dealing with the world. What they want, it is horrible. They don't want anything else than the his guest, the Lord, in him. Give me this. Give me this. How much like, you know, with great desire, like how to we want this. Give this. Like, and what Lot did? May I offer something to you, brethren? Like, what you will offer, Lord? I have two virgin daughters. My precious, awesome, great things. They are mine. I can give them to you, brethren. Whatever you do to them, you can do. But don't touch my God. So I was thinking that, Lord, I will never would do it. I will never would say that, like, you know, such a horrible father you are. Then I start to think, what is my precious thing? My precious thing is my time. My time. And the world coming and asking my time. Give me your time. Like, give me your God. Like, in you, the wisdom visited you. Give me. Does it make any sense? Like, you know, have you ever felt this? Like, I'm in and like, you know, I'm like, you know, like, they're like, you know, knocking. They're like scratching. They try to come in. And I'm like saying that I can give you my time. And I can give you whatever you do with thy time. I can manage it, you know. This one and inside with God. I can manage it. It is two different things, but I cannot. I cannot go together with two. What Lord says, repeatedly it says, let's go to the square. And I want to encourage you. Let's go to the square. Let's go. What I will do, I don't know anything. I will stand there with Almighty God. Correct? Do we do it? Let's go to the square. I will not negotiate and I will offer my precious thing to them. Most precious thing. Okay, brethren. Okay, like, you know, what God, I am with God. What God says, go to square. I am coming with you, God. What I will do, I will just stand with you. Whatever you do, God, it is your work. You finished the work. You have done it. And it took time. Come. I am afraid. Yes, I am afraid too. I know that it is difficult. I know that it looks horrible. But who says, let's go together? God says, let's go to the square. And when God speaks to us, let's say, yes, Lord, prepare me. You deal with it. Teach me how to trust. I need wisdom. The wisdom is whenever I have trouble, I think I have learned a little bit this, to go into evangelism. It solves every problems. It's ministers to me. It's building up to me. And when God says, let's go to the square, what I will say? Will I lock God in? God, no, I will go with him. And thank you for doing that. I am fruit of it. I am fruit of this. People went to the square. People didn't lock their God in, but went out and talk. And they didn't offer their precious thing to the world. They didn't negotiate with it. They said that we don't have anything with you, okay? I will go with my Lord. I will look upon him. Then it will build our inner life with God. And I'm so thankful for your life, for your prayer. And if you want to talk more about Turkey mission, we have booth there in the whatever the room name there. We are there, you know. And so and come and spend some time, and let's make plan to go to square together with Lord, okay? God bless you.
All right, let's stand for a moment, and you can talk to each other about your laughing inner man. Like you said, your inner man is laughing. And if you want to go to the square, we're going to the square Wednesday and Friday and Saturday in the afternoon. We're going to go to some squares to do outreach this week. So that's possible this week if you want to go to the... And it's called the Family Center, Pastor Niazi, the Family Center. And here comes our flowers. Thank you. So there we go. All right, are you ready for our next speaker? Okay. Pastor Mahima comes from the country of Uganda in the great continent of Africa. And welcome him.
Good morning. Great to be here. Thank you, Pastor Shah, for this opportunity to speak and stand before the congregation. We thank you for your ministry and your prayers, and we pray for you. Thank you so much, and the church here. Greetings from Uganda. We've just had a conference in April. We had over 1,000 people coming. Actually, on that conference, we have the Prime Minister who got saved. And, yes. Pastor Shibeli and Pastor Renato were there. We were praying for him. He was standing as a presidential candidate. But he didn't go through, so I don't know if it was us not praying so hard. But we were praying for one thing. We said, God, if you can save this man. That every day we prayed for his soul. And seeing him getting saved on that day, I said, yes. He did not become the president, but at least he has become the child of God. So that was so beautiful. And he loves our ministry, and he said he used to ask himself, he said, what happened to the God of love and God of mercy and God of grace? And when he found that our ministry speaks this way, he's really in love with our ministry. And so just continue to pray for him. Our children are doing well. We have 3 pastors now ordained from the orphanage. And one of them is planting a church. And we thank God for what he's doing in that part of region. We have now 69 churches. This year, 4 churches have been added from Uganda, Kenya, and now in Rwanda. And so just continue to pray for God's hand in that part of the region. It's great to see Pastor Yuka and Helena here. Great to see you. Okay, Luke chapter 18, verse 8. But if we can begin from verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge says. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? Father, we want to thank you for these words. In this unstable world, we pray that our eyes continue to look unto Jesus Christ, the author of our faith. We want to thank you, Jesus, in our lives. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We ask you, Lord, that you speak to our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to speak about faith. Faith as it stabilizes a believer in our walk in this unstable world. In 2 Corinthians 5, 7, the Word of God says that we walk by faith, not by sight. Romans 1, 17, the Word of God says that we live by faith. In 2 Corinthians 2, 5, the Word of God says that our faith not to stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. There has been, I think, statistics that they did it in America here. They interviewed, I think, 1,050 pastors. And they found out that 87% were planning to leave the pulpit. 57, they said they would leave the pulpit and go work for the world. I don't know what is going on. If the shepherds, this is what is happening with the shepherds, I don't know what is happening with the sheep. But when you look at those statistics, you kind of get to know what Pastor Shala said yesterday. Thank you so much for the message. You sense the gates of hell pressing so hard on the church. And so, but Jesus Christ is asking, if he comes, will he find faith on the earth? This is a big question. He's not asking, needing answer from the disciples, because he knows, of course. Will he find people? And he's not asking, of course, the people in the world. I don't think this question is meant for them, but his own children. Will I find my own children? Actually, the word faith speaks of depending on him. Will I find my children depending on me? So the question is, and this is what Satan projects to our minds all the time. He says, is your God dependable? This is the lie that is out there. Is the God that you believe in, that you trust in, dependable? When you go to work and they dismiss you and they say go, and you're in a car maybe going home, these projections come. And the projections are, you see, he's not dependable. Because if he was dependable, they would have not dismissed you. Is he dependable when it comes to our families? Is he dependable when it comes to raising up children? Is he dependable when we go to on a mission field? Is he dependable? This is what Satan projects. And sometimes when we pray to God and he says no, he takes a no to minimize the ability of God. And he says he is not able. He takes God's answer, waiting. God says, wait. He takes that and he says, you see, not all things are possible. He projects that. Why? Because he's the father of lies. And all that he says are lies. There's nothing else. But we have the father of all truth. And he's also, he sells truth. So we are like in the market. And we have to choose what we're supposed to buy. And so, and what Pastor Shah said yesterday is very true. It's the war, the ideology. This is what is happening. That's the war. In Africa, the war that is there right now is you have state, you have presidents who believe that missionaries came with the Bible and distorted our way of living. And they said, we use it to walk well. That's what they say. They say, but when they came in, they brought in their ideology. So what they are trying to do and what they are pushing is that we can have the Bible in the church and have witchcraft in the church. And they are sponsoring that with money. And it's big in Africa. And this is what we are battling with. You have seen recently, I'm not a politician. I even don't know what it means. God ended my education when I was in Form 6. But recently I've been following, in Uganda. The battle that is in Uganda, recently I spoke to a certain person before elections who was working in the State House. Good job, she's born again. Good job, good money. But she left. I said, why did you leave? And she said, the witchcraft in that house. She said, I cannot take the money. She said, there is a lot of witchcraft taking place. And so, and this is pushed on the church. If you're a pastor, they give you money to make sure you embrace this. And if you don't, you're an enemy. So you have no any other solution apart from confronting it. And this is what is happening. I remember recently, after elections, they came and interviewed me on TV and they said, we know, you know what is happening in the country. What are your thoughts about that? I said, we need to pray. And I said, we need to pray. Everyone in this country, we need to pray for this situation. And we started praying. And of course, the government started arresting people because they were praying. But we kept on praying. We say we continue. And what happened was that The week after, lightning did strike State House and killed one of his bodyguard and wounded other people. Another week, it did strike again. We were told he left State House and went to live in another place. But what I'm saying is this. When it comes to even our nations, Satan wants us to trust the systems they have put in rather than trusting God. The God we have is trust. We can trust him for anything, and he can do anything. He is all present. He is all powerful. He is all knowing. He is all loving. We know who he is, and we go to him by faith. Trust issues are with the people in the world, not with the children of God. In Africa, we have this saying that a man who counts his who counts his money after withdrawing from an ATM machine has trust issues. That's them, that's not us. We don't buy that lie. We have no trust issues when we have issues. We trust Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's dependable. He's dependable. But the church, the Galatian church, did buy a lie. Revelation chapter 3, there is a church that bought a lie. They said, actually, when you read in Revelation chapter 3, very beautiful, it says, actually, when you read there, you see that the church has increased, but has increased outside of Jesus Christ. And this is what Satan projects. He said, you can increase outside of Jesus Christ. You do not need him. All you need is this. Why? Because he wants us to walk by sight. In Psalms 23, David said, I have Jesus, I need nothing. But the church in Revelation chapter 3 says, I have everything, I don't need him. And Jesus Christ looked at the church and he says, you are blind. He says, you are poor. And he says, you are naked. Oh, I thought his church is not that naked. But he said so. But what is the problem? I was thinking about this. That actually in Genesis chapter 3, which is the first book, Adam is aware of his nakedness. It looks like God is not aware of that. But in Revelation chapter 3, which is the last book, the church is not aware of their nakedness, but Jesus Christ is aware of the nakedness. Why is he aware? I think because of the action he did in John chapter 19, verse 30. He knows he did it. He finished it. He finished the work. And the problem of this church in Revelation chapter 3 is they're trying to figure out things. They're trying to increase outside of Jesus Christ. And he say, listen, I'm sailing. That's what he say. I sell, he say, I'm selling raiment, come and buy again. I'm selling gold, come and buy again. I'm here, come and buy. This is the problem here. The church trusted more of the things of the world, depended more on the things of the world rather than depending on who Christ was. You see, we have a God we can trust. We have a God we can depend on in our families, at a place of work, in everything that we do in life. He is dependable. He is dependable. Let's not buy a lie. Let's not buy a lie that God is not dependable because we have not been healed. Let's not buy that because we have not been given A, B, C, D, because they have chased us from work, because things are happening in our lives, and then we tend to think God is not dependable. He is dependable. We can depend on Him. He is the rock, immovable rock. Let's continue to depend on Him in our lives as we face all that is happening in our lives, in this world, as the gates of hell continues to press hard on the church, as they continue to press hard on the church, our eyes are unto Him who say, it will not prevail. And we thank God and Jesus Christ that He's been with us. Amen. God bless you.
Okay, so let's have a short message this morning. Just thanking the brothers for those words. They were excellent. They really were excellent. Okay. Let's stand for a moment, please. And ask your neighbor, have you ever been depressed? Okay, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. All right, let's do a couple, praises to the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood, your love, your spirit. Thank you, Father, your name, your people, your grace toward us, forgiveness, your Son, your plan, your prophets, Moses. Thank you, Lord, the tabernacle, the sacrifices, the priesthood, the covenants with Abraham, Noah, David. Thank you, Lord, for every word in this great book. Thank you, Lord, for every believer here today. Yes, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. Give your neighbor a high five before you sit down. High five. Okay. There we go. Yeah. All right. You may be seated. Turning with me to Genesis 18, wisdom for our times. Abraham had wisdom for his time. Pastor Niazi, after he presented the flowers to his wife, shared that message. And I would like to just say a couple things about that message. Not to add to what he's saying, but only it doesn't matter who says it or how. But I would just like to say a few things which he said and would like to repeat them and or whatever the Lord will give on this portion. He compared Genesis 18 with Genesis 19. Did you notice that? Yes. What is the difference between Genesis 18 and Genesis 19? Well, there are a number of points here. Let's look at it here, verse 1. The Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself to the ground. Now, later in the story, two angels go to Sodom and Gomorrah. Here we have three men, and then in verse 1, we have the word the Lord. It really means God, this word, that God appeared unto him. And maybe he was one of the three men as Abraham stayed back and stood before the Lord. Chapter 18, verse 22. And the men turned their faces from thence, went towards Sodom. And in my reading, two of the men went to Sodom. And then it says, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. So the Lord stayed with Abraham there in fellowship. Abraham stood before the Lord. This is obviously what is called a Christophany, an appearance of God, Christ appearing, just like Christ appeared to Adam and Eve in the garden. The voice walked with them in the garden. The Lord appeared in the Old Testament, for Christ was never created. He always has been, and he always will be. But he was born in Bethlehem, made in the likeness of sinful flesh. Before Bethlehem, Christ existed as the Word, always interfacing with God, John 1:1 and Proverbs chapter 8. And here he appears to Abraham at the tent. Now, Pastor Niazi, I like to draw pictures, so I'm going to draw a tent here. Okay, there it is, Boy Scout tent. Abraham got it at Goodwill. Now, Abraham is out in the front of the tent, and where's his wife? She's inside. Let's draw her like this. And he said, Abraham is talking to God, the angel. I believe it was the Lord or an angel. He said, verse 3, now, my Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, pass not away, pray thee, from thy servant. Stay with me. Stay with me. I don't know if I really want to go back and forth between Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot, his apartment, the angels coming into the apartment, and what Pastor Niazi said, a Lot could have gone out to the square, out in the public, to evangelize. Very interesting point, very good. Like thought, and that thought can be right there. But this one is, Abraham doesn't have an apartment, he has a tent. Abraham is not settled in this world, he has a tent. The tents of Jacob, the tents of Kedar, the idea of a pilgrim passing through. The idea of not being entangled in the things of the world. I'm amazed, and in our history, I've been thinking of people like Bob Colban, Pastor Taggart, many of the older guys, not Pastor Taggart, but they had their profession, their work, their careers. Pastor Lange is another one. Their abilities, their training, their skill, and yet saying in their heart, by the grace of God, I'm okay with a tent. I can live with a tent. My eyes are on the city that God has built, whose maker, the city whose builder and maker is God. Psalm 90, good example. Moses' psalm, the Lord is our habitation. Israel's living in these kind of dwellings. They left Egypt. They don't have a home anymore. But if God is with us, then we have a home. Wow. We have some new houses in a neighborhood nearby here. We drove by them one Saturday. And I said to the people in the car, tomorrow I'm going to preach. You can have a house, but you may not have a home. You can have a brand new house, but it doesn't mean you'll have a home. The government may give houses, but what we really need is a home. And this picture that I drew up here, and it'll be for sale later in the bookstore. This is the story of your life now. And Lot went to Sodom and Gomorrah. The better part of the country was established in his apartment and his living. And God did not go there. The angels went to deliver him, but God was with Abraham. Now, this is what he said. Let's read it. Chapter 18 and we left off at 4. Let's move up to let's go up to 9. They said unto him, after they had prepared the food and they ate together, they had fellowship, they had communion, they had, they really made a good dinner, great food there, at great expense of time and effort, they really did. They did that. Verse 9, they said unto him, where is Sarah, your wife? He said, behold, in the tent. Oh, I don't know why she wasn't involved with all the cooking and everything, like Pastor Niazi's wife would have been. Forgive her. She knows not what she does. Verse 10, he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. O Sarah, thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. What would God say to you and I if he had time with us at the tent door and he could say, where is Sarah, your wife? Now, she's like inside. And Pastor Niazi said, there's a part of me inside, the secret me, that person that I really am. And anybody that is married knows how important your wife or your husband is to you in your thought life, in your values, how important you are as a married couple. You are one in so many deep and intricate and personal ways. Your wife is important. Your husband is important. Organically, one. And the angel said, where is she? She's in the tent. Then he said to Abraham, here on the outside, you will have a son. And the woman in the tent, she will be able to bear a child that will return to her. And so there it is. Verse 11. Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of a woman. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? Now, give Sarah a break. It is a big joke. Come on. All right. The same thing happens with you and I often. You have an eternal life. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Okay. You'll never die. Oh, yeah, sure. Okay, yeah. Oh. All right. Wait. There is so much that God's, and it's just out of reach of our believing. You see, because the other side of faith, I think of it as a coin, and one side of the coin is this side of the coin is faith. What's the other side? Doubt. They go together. Okay? Unbelief is part of my life. Unbelief is normal. It should be there. There should be a measure of unbelief in my, I mean, or else I'm not hearing from God. Because what God says to me is extraordinary. Because of what God is saying and ministering. You mean Jesus is in heaven praying for me? Yes, he is. Really? How does that work? Believe me, he is. Yes, Lord. I believe you. Now, in this story, what is so beautiful about it is that even though Sarah laughed, God wanted to make it clear. He heard the laughter. He addressed it. Verse 13, the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore does Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? The Lord is saying, contrary to what I just said, the Lord is saying, why are you laughing? How could you be laughing when I said you will have a son? Like, that's how is it you could be in unbelief? And we kind of get corrected by it and say, okay, I'm on your side. I'm going to have a son. I guess. Isn't that our life? It is. And the amazing thing is when the Holy Spirit, not only in this conversation, not just in this conversation, but when the Holy Spirit brings the unbelief into the conversation, addresses it, and we are able to say in our heart, I don't believe, but I actually do believe. I'm not sure about it, but I'm going to stand before you in fellowship. I'm joining my husband in it. I'm joining the Word of God in it. I'm actually believing that it will be as you have said. I'm trusting. So, verse 14. Is anything too hard? Is that correct? If I am waxed old, shall I? The Lord said to Abraham, wherefore does Sarah laugh? Verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. My son studied some biology at school. Late last night when I got home, we were talking a little bit. And just about the physical body. And he told me, he said, if you are lifting weights, your muscle fibers break down and they send a message to your pituitary gland, which sends a message to your testes, these glands that men have, and they release the hormone testosterone that rebuilds the muscle mass. And as we were talking, I mean, it just came out in a conversation as we were talking about it. I was just thinking, with him, the human body is amazing. And he also said, when a man gets older, the testosterone drops and estrogen increases, and that is why older men cry. And I said, explain that to me. He said, well, estrogen is a female hormone, generally, you know, higher levels than women, and that's why women cry. And men are not crying so much. What's this have to do with this story? Could God affect the physical body of Sarah so that she would produce an egg and she would be able to carry a child? And could her time of life return? Is anything too hard for the Lord? We are laughing. To have a child. How about this verse, Acts 26:8, when Paul was speaking before Agrippa, he said, do you count it a strange thing that a man would be raised from the dead? What a great thought that is. It was asked, Pascal said, which is the greater miracle? Two cells coming together to form a human being? Or that a dead man would come back to life. And he's suggesting the greater miracle is the birth of a baby. That two cells would come together and reproduce a human being. That is greater than a man who once lived and died would be raised from the dead. Okay. What I'm trying to say is, inside our hearts is where we really live. And that must be dealt with by God. And Christ is willing to deal with that and put our feet to the fire and speak to us and say, why are you laughing? Why are you mocking? Why are you living in unbelief? Why are you passive? Why are you indifferent? Why aren't you stirred up in your faith and embracing everything that I'm saying to you? Why aren't you getting it in your heart? You need wisdom for the times you live. You can't just be a passive believer saying, yeah, okay, she's going to have a baby. When inside there's laughter. And so here it goes. Sarah denied. Of course she did, verse 15. And Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not. But she was afraid. He said, nay. That's he was Danish. Nay. But you did laugh. I've heard the strangest sounds come out of people in Denmark. Nah. Nah. Okay, so here we go. Sarah denies saying, I laugh not. Liar. He said, no, but you did laugh. They dropped it. She got corrected. And listen to this. After the baby was born, what did she call him? Isaac. And what does it mean? Laughter. I have laughed twice, two different ways. When I heard the promise, I laughed in unbelief. When the baby was born, I laughed in belief. I laughed, mocking in a way, ridiculing, cannot even believe it, cannot be true. But isn't it amazing? One day we will all laugh with Sarah. If it hasn't happened already, it will happen in your life. You say, it is true. I can't believe it. God is so good. God has done it. It is as he has said. It is a reality. And thank you, God, that you went all the way into my tent without being invited. And you got inside my underwear. But I don't dare say that publicly. But you got right inside where I am living. You got right inside. You talked to me. You led me. I believed you. You showed it to me. And I praise you. No wonder Abraham stood before the Lord, fixed on him. And no wonder he went into that tent one night, one day in the near future, and he took his wife, and she conceived. And as she's going along with her aluminum walker, shuffling, her little belly is starting to protrude. And she starts to believe or know, yes, yes, yes, it is happening. If you take that story and you compare it to Genesis 19 with Sodom and Gomorrah, you have another believer, but it's all he should have had 18 happening in his life. He should have had God more closely talking to him and leading him. But like many believers today, we live on the outside. Many believers, we are too established here. We're not available, ready. We're not there. And that's where Lot lacked the wisdom needed for his trial and his time. Amen.